we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
DSC has provided many thousands of kids with the first steps of a lifetime to enjoyment in the shooting sports, hunting, and fishing. DSC's Hunter Expo in February will help to ensure that future generations will too. BigGame.org.
Hey, welcome to the camp house here at Kender Outdoors for the very first time in 2021. I think we're all really, really ready to turn the page on 2020 and move on down the road, see what a new year has to offer up. I'm Billy Kender, and thank you so much for taking a little time to hang out with us in the camp house. Brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club, an international leader in conservation, hunter education, and a staunch defender of your Second Amendment. Front door to the camp house is brought to you by Fortiflora from the trusted name Purina. Fortiflora is America's number one canine probiotic. Perfect for those weaning puppies. Safe enough to use every day. Fortiflora. Order it from Chewy.com. We're going to take a look in the rearview mirror as we roll down America's highways and back roads today. We've had some incredible guests on this show throughout the years, and we're going to revisit some of those folks. Some really smart folks in the ways of conservation, hunting, and fishing. We've been able to see up close and personal the effects that the outdoors and those activities of our heritage that we just cherish impact young lives, like the National Archery in the Schools program.
Alani Hayes.
All right. Tell me this. How long have you been shooting a bow?
I actually just started this year, the school year.
Okay. So just a few months ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And how did you get into it?
Well, before, when I was younger, I'd started soccer, and then I started to do tennis in seventh grade. And I wasn't good at either of them. I figured that, like, sports with like balls and stuff I wasn't really good at, so I decided to try something different, completely different, like archery.
Yeah. And do you have any archers in your family? Is your dad a shooter, your mom a shooter? Do you know anyone that shoots, or did you before you started this?
No, actually I'm the first one who's probably ever actually picked up a bow.
All right, you're leading the pack here. That's fun. And you found out what when you started shooting that bow?
Well, I found out that it was like actually a lot easier than it seemed. It seemed a little difficult to me at first, but then once you get used to it, it's like a lot easier.
Yeah. Okay. Your coach is sitting right over here. Since you've done this a few months now, do you think you could take him, head to head in a little tournament?
Maybe. I mean.
Oh, she's feeling it, coach. She's feeling good. She's feeling good. So you've made some progress, and you're pretty confident in your shooting now.
Yeah. I think I'm.
Do you just shoot in class, or is this something that you do outside the classroom as well?
For now, I just shoot in the class. But eventually I'll try and start to join an archery club or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
Very good. Yeah, and I'm sure you can see that when you have kiddos, when you have little ones, this is something you can do with them. It's a lot of fun. My little granddaughter started shooting when she was two.
Wow.
Yeah. You give a two-year-old a bow and let her pop a balloon, she's hooked for life. So that's all you have to do is they're hooked for life. So what's your favorite part of this? Is it being around the other kids that like to shoot? Is it trying to better your skills? What is it?
It's my favorite part would probably be like focusing and all that. It's sort of like gives you better attention skills. So
yeah.
That's sort of I need that too.
Right. So, muscle memory, when you first started doing this, did your shoulders and your arms get real sore?
Yeah, it's mostly my fingers. Like, they start to hurt after I hold the string for too long, but I get used to it, like, pretty easily.
I get carried away. You know, I'll put my bow up, like, this time of year in January, and then I get lazy, and I won't pick it up again until June, and I'll start getting ready for hunting seasons in the fall and late summer, and I overdo it. I'll go out and I'll shoot 200 times or 150 times in an afternoon. The next day I can't move. You think that's because I'm out of shape or because I'm just really old?
I don't really want to say.
Okay, that's a smart girl right there. You get an A in archery today. Hey, have fun shooting today. I hope you do well.
All right, thank you.
Have you shot other tournaments?
No, this is my first tournament.
First one. Are you nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
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 Well, it's just another target and another bow. Go out and shoot straight.
All right. Thank you.
What a thrill it is to show up at a high school gymnasium on a Saturday where there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of kids gathered up to shoot a tournament. kids from all backgrounds, all races, various ages. It's a really cool thing. You should take in a tournament sometime. And if you have a youngster in the family, junior high or high school, you should look into the National Archery in the Schools program. It's a winner. Hey, Calming Care brings us this corner of the camp house at Kinder Outdoors from Purina. Calming Care very gently over time settles the overactive dog, the overbarker, the overjumper. Folks are having great results with Calming Care. You can too. Come see me at KinderOutdoors.com and learn more. Hey, if you're an educator and you're interested in having archery or outdoors in your school, but you're not an archer, that's no big deal. Listen to Coach Paul.
I wasn't an archer before I started coaching it. I went through the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation and got some training for it, and guess what? Hey, here I am.
And you see more and more kids each year, I'm betting.
Oh, man, our program's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, we expanded to, now we have, six classes a year, for, and they're just full.
This is a perfect example of maybe kids that don't want to go through PE, for them to actually get school credit and learn something new that maybe they didn't even know they liked.
Oh, yeah. The kids, there's a lot of kids that just don't like to do, sports. And you know what? We get them in the archery program, and they start, and they realize that, hey, this is something they can be successful at.
Hi, I'm Ron Berry, four-time state champion archer. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
It is with heavy hearts that Dallas Safari Club is making a move from live and in person to online for the 2021 DSC Convention and Sporting Expo. In keeping with the rules implemented by the City of Dallas, we will miss out on shaking hands and hugging necks, eye-to-eye agreements, and hand-in-the-air auctions. With that said, I will tell you that DSC didn't undertake the important work of conservation, hunter advocacy, and education as a fair-weather project. We worked through tough times, negative attacks, political shift, and pandemic. DSC will host Reflections, the DSC Convention and Sporting Expo in 2021. I humbly ask you to please join us online in the days leading up to and throughout DSC's Reflections, February 11th through the 14th. The finest sporting auctions to be found will go as scheduled. The very best opportunities, art, and exhibitors worldwide will still be available to you. Let's use this online event to usher out a tough period and make it the first step into a wonderful future. BigGame.org.
At Marksman Firearms and Outfitters, we make shopping for the hunter or recreational shooter in your family easy. With locations in Mansfield, Wichita Falls, Granbury, and Killeen, Texas. Take advantage of our 90-day layaway, same as cash. So there's no need to hide gifts until the big morning. All year, we honor our military and first responders with a 10% discount on everything in the store. For rifles, pistols, shotguns, ammo, and optics, Marksman Firearms is your complete one-stop shop. MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word, csbiblechurch.org.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds, when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club. Now that's good camp house company.
Every single day, we are working to protect your right to hunt, fish, and shoot. Learn more about the DSC at biggame.org.
Hey, welcome back. It's good to have you around our campfire with us here at DSC's Kinder Outdoors. We meet a lot of special people up and down the trail, and none more special than my friend Anthony Pace. He and Jim Shockey came up with the idea of Freedom Hunters a few years back. And since that initial dinner meeting between the two, they've done a world of good.
Good to be here, Billy. I always appreciate listening to you. I wanted to have you on the show today, Anthony, to talk to folks about Freedom Hunters. If you listen to this show regularly, you know that we regularly post pictures and talk about Anthony's good work and Freedom Hunters' good work with our military personnel. Explain to folks, in a nutshell, what is Freedom Hunters, Anthony?
Well, Billy, we are a 501c3 military outreach program. And our main focus is taking servicemen and their families on hunting, shooting, and fishing trips all around the country and internationally.
And you have literally gone international. You've taken these folks all over the world. Any idea how many hunts you guys have done with our finest?
Oh, we've taken over 8,500 veterans and their family members on different trips, everything from half-day outings on up to, you know, backcountry elk hunts.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what you guys do. How did this get started? Was this your idea? This is something that a lot of people attempt and few people carry it through to the other side because it's a ton of work.
Well, you know, it's the military has always been a passion of mine. I never had the privilege to serve, but it actually ended up starting with a conversation with Jim Shockey. We were having dinner one night after a trade show, and he was wanting to do something for the troops. And basically it spurred me on and said, you know, well, why can't I? So that's where it started, and took a couple of years to get things in my head, how to put things together. And you know, now we're doing 300 outings a year.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. It doesn't hurt at all that Jim lends his name to this, and he truly does get in there and put a little elbow grease into this as well. He has a financial commitment to it, and he has a time commitment to it. Hey, thinking back over all of these trips, Anthony, give us an example or two of how you've seen this program, Freedom Hunters, actually change lives. And I know you have, because I've been privileged to participate with our Wounded Warriors and veterans and Paralyzed Veterans of America and different groups on events through the years. And I've seen guys come into camp and just be really quiet and reserved and just didn't trust anyone and standoffish. And then by the end of the week or even after a couple of days, they are out of their shell and you can't shut them up. They're a new person, it seems like. I know you've seen that.
Oh, most definitely. We've had occasions where we had a waterfowl hunting trip down in Kansas, and you know, before the trip and talking to the guy, he was very nervous about getting outdoors. You know, he really hadn't been around firearms since he'd been back, and PTSD was pretty severe. And You know, and we said, hey, you know, don't worry about it. You know, just go out and, you know, if all you do is sit there and hear the whistling wings coming over your head in the morning to the pond, then that's fine. You know, you don't need to feel any pressure to even shoot your firearm. And, you know, before talking to them, you know, it was 1, 2, 3 words, you know, at a time. You know, after the hunt, he was, you know, nonstop for an hour and a half about how wonderful it was. Turned him into a, you know, permanent waterfowler. So you really don't understand the therapeutic value of being outdoors. And these guys can just turn around in just a matter of days or a matter of hours.
You know, when God made his creation, he made it perfect, and there's no better medicine for our warriors and our vets that have seen the ravages and the noise of war than to sit in a deer blind or a duck blind or a bass boat early in the morning and watch that sunrise. It's therapeutic beyond measure, beyond what we can think about. Some good trips coming up. Give folks an example of what you're going to do with our warriors and our money when we give it to Freedom Hunters.
Well, we've got stuff going on all over the country. You know, I've got 16 warriors that are heading up to Sheridan, Wyoming to do, you know, it's a simple doe deer hunt, but it's an opportunity for them to fill the freezer. We've got on the eastern shore, we've got the Chesapeake Island hunt out on the eastern shore, and we'll have around 23 warriors out there hunting both deer and Sitka elk. We've got waterfowl hunts going on all over the country. This time of year, we've got stuff going almost everywhere.
Wow. How do you find your landowners? And if there's a landowner listening today that says, you know what, I've got a bunch of MLD permits, I need to get rid of a bunch of deer, here's a perfect way to do it. How can they donate to you, or can they?
Yeah, they sure can. And that's the nice part about it is every opportunity we have, you know, is created by an outdoorsman, whether it's an outfitter or simply a landowner or a fellow sportsman. So if you've got an opportunity and you need us to come out and help manage your herd, we're more than willing to do that. We've got guys signed up all over the country who can come at a drop of a hat and help you out, and it helps them. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. You know, we've got a landowner in Nebraska who him and his father both have a piece of property, and for the last 4 years they've been opening up their land and allowing, you know, one serviceman or two servicemen at a time to come and just spend time with them and their family. And, you know, it's been great. It's uplifting in more ways than you know.
Hey, Anthony, if someone has a piece of property and it's only big enough for a couple of guys to come harvest a deer or whatever, a wild hog hunt, whatever, but they don't have a bunkhouse, they don't have a place to put them up, is that still okay?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. And that's part of why we raise the money. Again, we'll have free opportunities to come hunt, but, you know, if we've got to put the guy up in a hotel, you know, that's no problem. That's why we raise the funds. And, you know, if we have time, we try to work with the local community and see if they'll donate a hotel or a meal or two. But, you know, everything we do is custom. So it doesn't have to be, again, anything spectacular. Just an opportunity to get the guys out is extremely important.
You bet. Absolutely. Give us the website one more time.
The website is freedomhunters.org.
The dedication of Anthony Pace and Jim Shockey and all of those Freedom Hunters volunteers is just inspiring to watch. Month after month, year after year, they don't give up. As long as there is a vet that can benefit from these therapeutic hunts and fishing trips and outings, they'll work diligently to try their best to provide it. They could sure use your help. Come see me at kinderoutdoors.com and learn more about Freedom Hunters. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. The overbarker, the overjumper, the dog that literally freaks out during a thunderstorm. Calming Care can benefit those dogs. It very gently over time. It's not a drug. It gently works over time to settle the overbarker, overjumper. Learn more when you come see me at kinderoutdoors.com. Boy, we've suffered through a year of cancellations and remote learning. face masks and social distancing. And that's going to go away, but the effects of COVID-19 still linger. The Festival of the Cranes, that's a big deal in Decatur, Alabama. Over 14,000 sandhill cranes, along with several pairs of whooping cranes, always winter at Wheeler National Wildlife Refuge. And in celebration of that winter migration, the refuge hosts an event every year offering a variety of activities, celebrating these birds that call the refuge home. This year it's been modified. The 2021 Festival of the Cranes will be next Saturday, January 9th, one day only this year.
I'm Larry Potterfield with Midway USA, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm always thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
You might hunt the south pasture, or maybe the double tanks. You've watched that big 10 point for 4 years now. Maybe he'll show up. Or maybe it's a doe you'll hang in the cooler tonight. We're almost out of sausage links and taco meat. Maybe a pig will come by today. Among all the maybes, there is an absolute. Take your wild game to Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. The Masacchio family and their decades of family recipes will have your guests at a whitetail dinner complimenting you on the beef.
Because the way we season them, and then we cry vac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular filet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. Buffalo wool, hats, socks, and gloves will keep you warm and comfortable on even the most uncomfortable days. It's called buffalo wool because the very special fibers used in buffalo wool products are harvested from beneath the big shaggy guard hairs on the bison. These special fibers are how the buffalo manages a Wyoming blizzard or a North Dakota ice storm with no trouble at all. Ron Miskin owns the Buffalo Wool Company and loves the customer feedback.
Well, I was really surprised when I got pictures back. He went and did a 330-mile snowmobile trek up in Alaska, negative 30s, Jason Muskox. He said second day he quit wearing his choppers, just wearing our gloves and hat.
The buffalo fiber you make your products from, actually warmer than wool.
Oh, yeah, much warmer than wool, a lot more durable. These are meant to be used and used hard. We warranty them for life. You wear them out, we'll replace them.
The BuffaloWoolCo.com.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's scott@gootf.com.
You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
Come in off the porch. Kinder Outdoors is back. Partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC, and we are at biggame.org.
Hey, in just a couple of weeks, I'll be bringing the show to you from Joshua Creek Ranch in the Texas Hill Country. I cannot wait. As a matter of fact, my buddy, Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall, and his wife, Tanya, are going to meet us there at the ranch, and we're going to do a little bird hunting together. It is five-star lodging, dining, treat yourself. My goodness, what a year we're coming off of. Book your trip right now with peace of mind to Joshua Creek Ranch, knowing that if COVID rears its ugly head in your home between now and hunt time, they're going to work with you. They've eased their cancellation policy. Learn more about Joshua Creek Ranch at kinderoutdoors.com. One of the more enjoyable visits I've had in the decade plus of Kinder Outdoors was when I sat down with turkey calling Hall of Famer Eddie Salter. How does an Alabama boy end up in the middle of the universe in Las Vegas, Nevada, with people sticking microphones and cameras in his face? How'd this all start for Eddie Salter?
Well, you know, I was a barber. I cut hair. Of course, looking at you, you've kind of...
I don't have much need for a barber anymore.
but I was checking you out right there. But I actually went to barber school. But I had a love for turkey. I loved the turkey hunt. And so I actually got to making mouth calls and calls that I would sell to my customers.
Yep.
If you wanted something to do with turkey calls, I pretty much had them in my shop. And you could get a haircut and we could talk turkey or whatever. But the reason I had them in there was, you know, I'm an old man, and back then, you didn't have much benefits if, when you working for yourself.
Right.
So I would take the turkey calls that I would make and sell, and I would put them in a little old cigar box over there. I'd keep that money, and then when I got ready to take vacation, I had vacation with pay.
There you go.
But so that was one reason. That's what got me here. But I got involved in competition level and got into competing and going out there. Not to say that I won a contest or that I was better than this guy here. I wanted to become a real good turkey hunter. I felt like if I could go and be backstage or be around some of the old timers, that some of the older guys would remember this name, Ben Roger Lee, and some of them guys like that, just to be in a room with them and hear what they had to say about turkey. And that's what got me motivated. And I was lucky enough to I won a few turkey contests, and which I won two real prestigious, two world championships. But it wasn't because of a trophy and saying that. I wanted to be as good as I possibly could be in the woods, and I wanted to know and have as much knowledge as I could gather up.
Yeah, I'd say that you have done that. You've achieved that. And you've been really good about passing that on to other folks through the years. You've shared everything you've learned, haven't you?
I have, and, I'm sitting here looking. We were talking about being rewarded and being able to get out there and take folks hunting and go back to the camp. But, we talk about taking kids hunting. But, some of my hunts that I feel like I've been most rewarded is taking some ladies hunting that's, you know, 30, 40 years old. But I've actually taken, I took a man that was 82 years old and never shot a turkey couple years ago, watching that gun on his knee and watching it shake.
Yeah.
And then, you know, his reaction after he killed his first turkey.
Yeah.
And what I was going to have some advice, you know, take a kid hunting and take, you know, let's introduce them to the woods. Take a lady out there. Well, let's don't forget some of our older folks that may would like to get into turkey hunting and have never been. You know, one thing NWTF and, you know, National Wild Turkey Federations and the Game and Fish Departments in most states had really done a great job in restoring turkey populations. We got a lot more turkeys to hunt now. Today and then 50 years ago, I killed my first turkey when I was 10.
Yeah.
So I've been hunting them for 50 years, and I tell you what, it's amazing the growth the turkeys has had in the last 50 years.
Well, yeah, it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, conservation story in North America. It's been a work in progress for a lot of years, and it's still a work in progress. We're trying to restore the easterns in Texas, and that program is happening right now. But it's a successful program with a successful history. What's the toughest springtime turkey hunting scenario that Eddie Salter runs into? A bird hangs up. What do you least like to see when you're turkey hunting?
Well, one thing you don't want to run into one that's got a bunch of hens, and I think that's the problem we have. A lot of times, you know, guys say, "Man, that old turkey's smart over there. I hit him with all kind of calls," but I feel like if guy can learn to use multiple calls, I'm bad about using a mouth call and a slate at the same time.
Yeah.
We get I use them like two different hens, and I fuss back and forth, and I like to create a lot of excitement in it. But I'm gonna say for most of probably the henned up turkey is probably one of the toughest turkeys, and you know, it's ways around that. You can go in and you can separate them.
Yeah.
You can scatter them in the afternoon
like you would in the fall.
That's right. Like a fall scenario, or go in there and let them roost, you know, right at fly-up time, flush them in the afternoon and go back next morning. And a lot of times after you flush them in the afternoon, hens are not real aggressive. But you go in and that turkey gobbles, move up and try to get as close as you possibly can to him. And, you know, then start a series of calls. And a lot of times, you know, it's kind of looking at, you know, like Alabama playing football, and of course I'm from Alabama, or Texas, we like home field advantage. You know,
right.
we got 7 points before we ever get the game started. Well, if that turkey's been flying down and doing the same thing over and over, and his hens is flying down, you know, he gets in a routine.
Yeah.
And it's really his advantage. But when you separate him in the afternoon, right at fly up time, it's a whole new ball game, and he'll act completely different.
Hmm.
Of course, now you got to look at these scenarios. That's something that in Texas, in a lot of areas where you have just a lot of roost areas, you know, I don't advise that. Don't go in there and mess with your roost, because if you do it two or three times, turkeys will find somewhere else to roost.
Right.
And then what I found out about Texas is, you know, don't sweat it. Let them turkeys fly down, and seems like they're on a mission. It may take them an hour to get where they want to go.
Right.
They may travel a mile.
Right.
But when they get there, they'll settle down, and they'll start gobbling, and you start working them up and killing them in. But I've actually been on roost where there'd be hundreds of turkeys gobbling.
Yeah.
And be on the other side of where they don't want to go, and they won't come see you. They're going to go where they want to go, and it's disappointing.
Rio Bonito Ranch, 3 years ago, I put up 500 turkeys. I've never seen that many at one time. I roosted 500 turkeys. I didn't even sleep that night, Eddie. I was out there an hour and a half before daylight. I was set up. I was ready to go. I hit that owl. It sounded like Armageddon coming back at me, and every one of them came down and went the other way, you know, except for two hens that came and circled me until everybody was gone. So
yeah.
I know how it worked.
Well, on that deal there, you just got to be patient and hope you got enough property that, you know, but, you know, a scenario like that, if they roosted on your property and they go in a certain way, after a couple of days they keep heading that way, well, you need to set up on the direction they're heading. Don't try to call them against the grain.
Right, yep, they ain't going to come in. That's not going to happen. Rarely is that going to work. Hey, how did you guys from Alabama let that fellow from Auburn sneak up on y'all on the last play of the game?
Well, I think we just we may have got out coached on that deal right there. So, but you know, hey,
that doesn't happen very often at Alabama.
I was sitting there and I watched the ball game, and you had to give credit. Auburn played a good ball game, and you hate to see it lost that way. So, but anyhow, as always, next year.
You bet. Eddie Salter, we can watch you on TV, the Turkey Man himself. Tell us again where and when.
All right, it's on the Sportsman Channel. It's on Saturday evenings at 7:30 and 9:30. It's called the Turkey Man, and on Thursday mornings at 8:30. And check out these Flexstone Thunder series of cutting and cutting. And it's a new series that we got. I'm really excited about being a part of Flexstone and helping them in developing calls. And, hey, come see me somewhere, different times. If you see where Eddie Salter is going to be at, come shake my hand and talk turkey with me. I look forward to it.
Hey, one more question.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever shot a turkey in Hawaii?
I have not, but you know that's on my agenda.
That's where we should have done this interview, Eddie.
Well, we got to get that checked out.
What a pleasure. Anytime you get an opportunity to sit down with Eddie Salter. He and I were at SHOT Show in Las Vegas a few years back when we had that little visit. Hey, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee. I'll meet you right back here.
Now, more than maybe ever, we could all use a little getaway. And the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread around while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also features spacious lakefront cabins, fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well-stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on-site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, but you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big-screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on, theharvestmovie.com. From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com. If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers. that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com. Planning that perfect hunting excursion with my friends at Joshua Creek Ranch, make sure you pack the fly rod. Crystal clear Joshua Creek runs right through the middle of the ranch. The Guadalupe River borders the ranch. The perfect way to while away the middle hours of the day. But hey, if you forget the fly rod, don't worry. They've got a well-stocked pro shop. Joshua Creek Ranch. Learn more when you visit me at kinderoutdoors.com. Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. This is DSC's Kinder Outdoors. Welcome to our campfire. We're sure glad to have you with us as we kick off 2021. Happy New Year to you. We're revisiting some conversations that we've had in the camp house over the years, and one of the more memorable comes from about, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago with Ted Nugent.
I was born in December of 1948. And in October of 1949, I was in deer camp. I was 10 months old. And I got to tell you, I have not missed a deer camp in 65 years. I started following my dad, who was already, thank God, a follower of the great Fred Bear in Michigan. And I would walk that wild ground with my little glass bow and suction cup arrows, literally as a toddler. And I had the grand slam of stuffed animals, I'm sure, by the time I was four. But I started hunting with Ernest with broadheads by the time I was 6 or 7 years old. And, of course, back then we didn't really know what we were doing. But the instinct to provide, the instinct to connect with the good Mother Earth and be a responsible steward of these precious resources is an urge and a spirit that we are all born with. And thank God it was cultivated in me and my brothers and sister, and now, of course, my children and grandchildren. And so it's not just sport and recreation, though it is a challenge, which makes it a sport, and it is recreation because it certainly recreates our energies in the world of stress. But I found that a lot of people are starting to realize that just the simple pragmatism that I discovered, the essence of backstrap, the essence of identifying that bird and learning what this step will bring if it's conscientious versus a haphazard step. Not just sneaking up on a deer, but pursuing a musical career, being a father, being a good neighbor, being a good American. So the essence of the deer hunting life taught me early on that you can't poison your sacred temple with the drugs and the alcohol and the tobacco and what they called peer pressure back then. So my hunting lifestyle literally disciplined me to stand up against the lie of peer pressure and to pursue my dreams by being the best that I can be, because if you're not the best deer hunter you can be, you will buy chicken. So it's real simple utilitarian lessons in life, and it started when I was born, and I'm telling you, here it is 2014. I just left deer camp. I got a couple of gadwalls with my Labradors before I got here. So my effervescence is a direct result of Labradors who love me and aim small, miss small, shooting big deer, especially, I got to tell you, with the heroes of the military. Jack Brittingham down at Rancho Encantado is, like hundreds of friends of mine before him, donated a hunt to a great wounded warrior, Staff Sergeant Patrick Ziegler, who was shot in the head during the terrorist attack at Fort Hood.
I remember.
And to witness this man redeveloping his motor skills after this tragic, tragic injury brought such fortification to my confirmation and certainty that the hunting lifestyle is the greatest lifestyle in the world. And so that's why we promote it on Spirit of the Wild in this interview we're doing right now. The stories and articles that I write at my Facebook, we have 2.5 million people on my Facebook who come to learn about hunting and marksmanship and wildlife. And I just celebrate it more and more every day of my life.
Dan, I know exactly what you're talking about. I participate in a lot of Wounded Warrior. Every opportunity I get to take a Wounded Warrior fishing or hunting. We recently took 3 to Oklahoma. We put them in front of fabulous deer. They killed fabulous deer. They were changed like you've seen so many times. They were changed in 24 hours, and I overheard 2 of them talking. And one of them said, I smiled and felt no pain for 20 minutes today for the first time since they blew me up in Afghanistan. And his buddy said, that's what's different. I didn't feel my pain for a little while. It's magical, man.
I hear that all the time, and there's no more deserving humanity than the heroes of the military, and nothing cleanses their soul and takes away the pain and the bad memories and the heartbreak. More importantly than the physical injuries and the heartbreaking memories they have, I cannot fail to say the following. The epidemic of suicide rates in our military has come out around the campfires when they articulate the heartbreak that their commander-in-chief is not living up to his vows while their buddies are getting blown up, living up to their vows. So there's a lot of good that we should celebrate with the greatest hunting in the world, more deer, more elk, more turkey, more geese, more cougars, more black bears, and more people celebrating hands-on conservation. But in order to maximize the good, we have to identify the bad and the ugly, which unfortunately is the corruption, the abuse of power in our government today that is most pointed. I hope all the good families across this country will turn up the heat in this participation of we the people, in this participation of a self-government, and start doing our job to make up for our apathy that allowed the enemies to get into positions of power like Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. It really is a sad time in America, but we the people can fix it, and we owe it to those heroes who have given the ultimate sacrifice for the U.S. Constitution.
No one can say that any better than that. I have one more topic that we've got to talk about before we put an end to this today, Ted, and that is recently at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo, they auctioned an opportunity to take a rhino, black rhino, endangered, $350,000, the most ever raised in one effort to save the black rhino. There were death threats from around the world. You've had these death threats, I'm sure, on your life, on your family's life. Despicable things were being said. Have you ever stepped up to a vegetarian and threatened their life?
Isn't that fascinating? No. In fact, I would go out of my way to keep my venison utensils away from my vegetarian friend's tofu. Because I, Ted Nugent, the Motor City Madman, author of Wango Tango, I am the peace and love tolerant guy. I just happen to know that peace and love is only attained through superior firepower. And for these doped up, soulless, brain dead individuals that fall under the heading of animal rights freaks, for these people to literally find fault with the raising of all this money when black rhinos die every year anyhow. We're only going to take an over non-producing, over the hill black rhino to raise enough money to save thousands of rhino and optimize the habitat so that the black rhino will not be endangered. The same proven procedure that we did for the white rhino, the wide-lipped rhino, it has now come back because it's valuable, and the value we buy and that we pay lots of money for will optimize the habitat, not just for the black rhino and the white rhino, but for other endangered species and for what we all aspire to, the clean air, soil, and water producing biodiversity that all that money will go for. So if you really examine the agenda of the animal rights freaks, it's a scam, or worse, it's a criminal operation who will claim they're going to help animals, but all they really do is pay huge salaries and feed off the emotions of people so that Wayne Pacelli and Ingrid Newkirk can fly their private jets and get a huge compensation while they claim to save animals when they've never saved one amoeba. If you want to save animals, you need to buy a hunting license, a fishing license, and a trapping license, and join Ducks Unlimited and Safari Club International, the National Rifle Association, and all these wonderful conservation organizations that irrefutably have saved wildlife and brought it back to the healthiest, thrivingest wildlife populations in the history of mankind. So the animal rights people are the enemies of nature, and the hunting community are the absolute saviors of nature.
God bless Ted Nugent.
He does every day. In fact, just yesterday with a big South Texas buck.
More of DSC's Kinder Outdoors when I come back from the coffee pot.
You're back. We still have some big fish to fry here at Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Attend the DSC Hunters Expo Reflection in Dallas, February 11th through the 14th, and you will make an important and worldwide impact on poaching. You'll strengthen our Second Amendment, and you will teach a youngster how hunting is conservation. DSC is at biggame.org.
Hey, Purina Pro Plan Performance Formula is what your hard-working bird dog needs. 30% protein, 20% fat. Purina Pro Plan is at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. I didn't have time during the Christmas show to slip in the Teddy Roosevelt Christmas buck story, so let's do it right now. One Christmas, I was to be at the ranch, and I made up my mind that I would try to get a good buck for our Christmas dinner, for I had not had much time to hunt that fall, and Christmas was almost upon us before we started to lay in our stock of winter meat. So I arranged with one of the cowboys to make an all-day's hunt through some rugged hills on the other side of the river where we knew there were whitetail. We were up soon after 3 o'clock when it was yet dark as at midnight. We had a long day's work before us, and so we ate a substantial breakfast. Then we put on our fur caps, coats, and mittens, and walked out into the cold night. The air was still, but it was biting weather, and we pulled our caps down over our ears as we walked towards the rough, low stable where two hunting ponies had been put overnight. In a few minutes, we were jogging along on our journey. There was a powder of snow over the ground, and this, and the brilliant starlight, enabled us to see our way without difficulty. The river was frozen hard, and the hoofs of the horses rang on the ice as they crossed. For a while, we followed the wagon road and then struck off onto a cattle trail that led up into a long coulee. After a while, this faded out, and we began to work our way along the divide, not without caution, for in the broken countries, it's hard to take a horse during darkness. We left the horses in a sheltered nook where there was an abundance of grass and strode off on foot, numb after the ride. The dawn brightened rapidly, and there was almost light enough for shooting when we reached our spur overlooking a large basin, around whose edge there were several wooded coulees. Here we sat down to wait and watch. We did not have to wait long, for just as the sun was coming up on our right hand, we caught a glimpse of the little ravines some hundreds of yards distance. Another glance showed us that it was a deer feeding, while another behind it was walking leisurely in our direction. There was no time to be lost, so sliding back over the crest, we trotted off around a spur until we were in line with the quarry, and then walked rapidly towards them. Our only fear was lest they should move into some position where they would see us. And this fear was justified. While still 100 yards from the mouth of the coulee in which we had seen the feeding deer, the second one, which all the time had been walking slowly in our direction, came out on a ridge crest to one side of our course. It saw us at once and halted short. It was only a spike buck, but there was no time to lose, for we needed meat. And in another moment, it would have gone off, giving the alarm to its companion. So I dropped on one knee and fired just as it turned. From the jump it gave, I was sure it was hit, but it disappeared over the hill, and at the same time, the big buck, its companion, dashed out of the coulee in front, across the basin. It was broadside to me and not more than 100 yards distant, but a running deer is difficult to hit. And though I took two shots, both missed, and it disappeared behind another spur. This looked pretty bad, and I felt rather blue as I climbed up to look at the trail of the spike. I was cheered to find blood, and there was a good deal of snow here and there. It was easy to follow it. Nor was it long before we saw the buck moving forward slowly, evidently very sick. We did not disturb him, but watched him until he turned down into a short ravine a quarter mile off. He did not come out, and we sat down and waited for nearly an hour to give him time to get stiff. When we reached the valley, we went down each side so as to be sure to get him when he jumped up. Our caution was needless, however, for we failed to start him. On hunting through some of the patches of brush, we found him stretched out, already dead. This was satisfactory, but still it was not the big buck, and we started out again after dressing and hanging up the deer. For many hours we saw nothing, and we had swung around within a couple miles of the horses before we sat down behind a screen of stunted cedars for a last look. After attentively scanning every patch of brush in sight, we were about to go on when the attention of both of us was caught at the same moment by seeing a buck deliberately get up, turn around, and then lie down again in a grove of small leafless trees lying opposite of us on the hillside with a southern exposure. He had evidently very nearly finished his day's rest, but was not quite ready to go out and feed, and his restlessness cost him his life. As we now knew just where he was, the work was easy. We marked a place on the hilltop a little above and to one side of him. While the cowboy remained to watch him, I drew back and walked leisurely round to where I could get a shot. When nearly up to the crest, I crawled into view of the patch of brush, rested my elbows on the ground, and gently tapped two stones together. The buck rose nimbly to his feet, and at 70 yards, afforded me a standing shot, which I could not fail to turn to good account. A winter day is short, and twilight had come before we had packed both bucks on the horses. With our game behind our saddles, we did not feel either fatigue, nor hunger, nor cold while the horses trotted steadily homeward. The moon was a few days old, and it gave its light until we reached the top of the bluffs by the river and saw across the frozen stream the gleam from the firelit windows of the ranch house. President Teddy Roosevelt's memories of a Christmas buck.
It is with heavy hearts that Dallas Safari Club is making a move from live and in person to online for the 2021 DSC Convention and Sporting Expo. In keeping with the rules implemented by the City of Dallas, we will miss out on shaking hands and hugging necks, eye-to-eye agreements, and hand-in-the-air auctions. With that said, I will tell you that DSC didn't undertake the important work of conservation, hunter advocacy, and education as a fair-weather project. We worked through tough times, negative attacks, political shift, and pandemic. DSC will host Reflections, the DSC Convention and Sporting Expo in 2021. I humbly ask you to please join us online in the days leading up to and throughout DSC's Reflections, February 11th through the 14th. The finest sporting auctions to be found will go as scheduled. The very best opportunities, art, and exhibitors worldwide will still be available to you. Let's use this online event to usher out a tough period and make it the first step into a wonderful future. BigGame.org.
This is Randy Jackson with Teske's Outdoors on Interstate 20, just west of Weatherford. Don't let that next hunt slip up on you without paying us a visit at Teske's. Are you looking for that next rifle, pistol, or new shotgun? You'll find the most dependable names at Teske's like Browning, Beretta, Benelli, Stoger, Winchester, Bagara, and Christensen. Pistols by Sig, Kimber, Cove, Taurus, and Smith & Wesson. If you're having a hard time finding ammo, then come see us at Teske's. We receive regular shipments, even in 9mm. Snake boots sure come in handy in Texas. We have them from Twisted X. If you can't find the Western boots that you're looking for at Teske's, they just don't make it. Take a look at our Sitka clothing and Sims fishing apparel. Teske's Outdoors on the south side of Interstate 20, just a couple of minutes west of Weatherford. From dove to white-tailed deer, at Teske's we're hunters too, and we'd love to visit with you on your way to the ranch.
The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation salutes hunters for the role they play in providing critical funding for conservation. Funds generated by hunting licenses and fees, excise taxes on hunting gear, and donations to groups like RMEF generate funds that fuel land and wildlife conservation efforts from coast to coast. Celebrate how hunting is conservation at our annual fundraising banquet and auction. Be ensuring the future of elk, other wildlife, their habitat, and our hunting heritage.
This is Woody, Woody's Fairly Reliable Guide Service, up on Rainy Lake, Minnesota. I've been taking families, friends, and corporate groups fishing for more than 40 years. Crappie, smallmouth, walleye, and monster pike await you right outside your lodge door. Not only can I show you a wonderful time on Rainy Lake, I can sell you your very own island, as I'm a realtor too. So we can do it all up here and take a two-nation vacation with Woody. Over 90% of our customers make it back to dock safely. We hope you're one of them. Woody at RainyLake.com. See you here.
After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife. Quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, right. These people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
This old camp house has lots of room. Come on in. This is the Dallas Safari Club's Billy Kender Outdoors.
Conserving wildlife and the habitat that they need for survival. Come be a part of that with the DSC. Learn more at biggame.org.
You know, the trail at Kender Outdoors has taken us from Canada to Argentina and most stops in between. But one of the most fascinating and mysterious is a place called Caddo Lake on the Texas-Louisiana border. It's a sprawling swamp, never deeper than 5 feet. And you're likely to see everything from alligators to Sasquatch hunters on Caddo Lake. If you carve out a little time to go to Caddo along with your family or friends, make sure you call my friend John Wynn and take his tour and hear his history of Caddo Lake. John, this is prehistoric-looking country. It's the only thing like this in Texas. What's the history of the white man in this area and in this water?
Well, the white man come here around 1835, and that's when Captain Henry Miller Shreve had opened up enough the logjam that created Caddo. 1835 was also the same year that the Caddo Indians sold their lands to the U.S. government. So it was a pretty pivotal year for people coming here and settling on these waterways and stuff. We had plantations pop up, cotton plantations and stuff like that. So 1835 was when everything started happening. The Caddo Indians sold their lands. It was millions of acres. They sold it for $80,000. 30,000 of it was up front and traded goods. The rest of it was paid out in $10,000 a year installments. And in the treaty that they were told that they had to leave this area. And so they moved west to the Brazos, and they stayed there for a while until the white men started shoving them out and coming there. And they kind of become nomadic. They moved around. Some of them tried to come back to their homelands and stuff. And they had a pretty hard time. But with the help of Sam Houston, they were granted some lands in the Indian territories. They, from what I understand, there's about 2,000 of them now.
John, I've been here at Caddo Lake now for 3 days, and I've already met one Sasquatch hunter.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about that?
Well, people ask me sometimes, have I ever seen Bigfoot or Sasquatch? And I tell them no, but I would like for him to wait out in front of us, and y'all get a really good picture of him. And then y'all can make a lot of money off your picture, and then I can buy about 10 more boats and hire some operators to start doing Bigfoot tours.
Hey, I know you were born and raised. This is your living room that we're floating around in out here. But this is a strange and mysterious place to us flatlanders.
Mm-hmm.
Is it strange and mysterious to you, or is this just home?
It's home, but it never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll get people from Dallas or Houston, the larger cities, and they'll come out in a place like this, and they're a little bit spooky, you know, spooked by it, and they wonder what's out there to get them. And I tell them, I said, you know, there's a lot more back in the Metroplex that'll get you than there is out here.
Yeah.
And usually fear is just a lack of understanding.
Yeah.
And out here in nature, everything has its place, its order. Once you understand that, then you become comfortable with it. I get scared when I go to Dallas.
I don't blame you. Yeah, that's a scary place. But this can, you do need to watch your P's and Q's. We just saw a 5-foot gator just a few minutes ago. They'll bite you. You know, they don't want to. They'll more than likely leave you and swim away from you. But there's stuff around you when you're out in this water.
Mm-hmm.
And cypresses, 26,800 acres mm-hmm. of cypress trees, canals, swamps. You can get lost easy. Take something with you if it's not a professional guide. Take something with you that's going to help you get back where you came from, right?
Exactly, because a lot of people do get turned around. A lot of people get lost. People come out and you're in a virtual forest on the water. And Caddo, 26,800 acres, it's not as big as Sam Rayburn, Toledo Bend, or Texoma. But what I tell people is imagine walking up to a 100-acre pasture and you look from side to side and front to back, no big deal. Then walk up to 100 acres of woods and then walk into it. You can spend a week in those 100 acres exploring it. Same difference between Caddo and a man-made reservoir or open reservoir. You just have a virtual forest out here with so many ins and outs, so many hidden places, so many cypress thickets that you might work your way through. Then you can't figure out how to get back through it.
Yeah.
And so that's what causes a lot of people to get lost.
I can almost guarantee you that you'll get lost on this lake if you don't take your GPS or someone like John with you. Hey, this corner of the Camp House brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. There's a formula that's perfect for your dog. And you'll find it at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. One of the true treasures of Caddo Lake was Mr. Henry. He passed away a couple of years ago, but I always looked forward to my visits on that old wooden slat porch at the 100-plus-year-old Johnson's Ranch Marina.
Mr. Henry, if you had a dollar for every fish that's been caught out of your boat, how many dollars would you have?
I'd be a millionaire.
I know you would be.
I would be. I would be a millionaire, yeah.
I know you would be.
Yeah.
What year did you first ever fish Caddo Lake?
Well, let's see. I want to say 1947.
1947?
Yeah, when I was a little boy.
Yeah.
I was born in 1938.
Right.
During the 30s, I used to slip off. Instead of going to school, this man said, Caddo. That's why I learned about that. That way I know.
Now, I heard that when the school bus would come to take you to school,
I'd go around the bus, come on down and get a boat and power the lake.
You'd run around the bus and hide till it pulled off?
Yeah, and go across the fence and come down and go fishing.
And go fishing.
Everybody.
You still like to fish that much?
Yeah.
My goodness.
I'm going to be fishing when I go away, I hope.
I bet you will be.
Yeah,
I bet you will.
I was born in 1938. Got my guide license when I was 17 years old. Been doing it ever since.
My word.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Yeah.
My goodness. What's the furthest you've ever... We're in Uncertain, Texas. You were born in Karnak, right up the road, what, 5 miles up the road?
5 miles up the road, yeah.
Okay.
Where have I ever been?
Furthest you ever been from Uncertain?
Okay, I went to Detroit. But I got a brother live up there.
Detroit.
And I've been to New Orleans.
Okay.
And I ain't been nowhere at Dallas, Houston, that's it.
That's it. And don't want to go back.
No, too. Hey, They move too fast in the big city. I like where I'm at.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
The brim fishing on Caddo Lake in the springtime is just something else, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's more popular than any lake I've ever seen. So if folks want to come down and fish with Mr. Henry, then I recommend you get him booked right away while these brim are hot, because he's out there floating around amongst those cypress trees catching those brim and those crappie.
That's right.
You know, I felt real proud of myself today. We were out there fishing, and we started catching fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up, and I said, there's Mr. Henry. We're in the same area as Mr. Henry. We must have done something right.
We made the right turn.
We made the right turn. Well, how long are you going to keep guiding people? Do you enjoy people?
Well, just as long as I get in and out of the boat. I enjoy people. Sometimes they get on my nerve, but I just pay it on through and keep on fishing.
Oh, my goodness. The good Lord made a special man when he made you, Mr. Henry.
I tell you, man, you got to have that patience. You got to have patience. That's the main thing about fishing.
Right.
Patience.
Same thing with people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You got to have patience every day.
Did you ever bass fish?
Oh, man, yeah. I'm a bad thing to do, man.
Is that right? You used to get after
them. Oh, yeah, man.
Well, I've got a plane ticket to Detroit I'll give you if you want it. You going to go to Detroit or are you going to stay here on Caddo?
I'm going to stay on Caddo.
Mr. Henry, you're a Texas treasure. I appreciate you sitting down with me, and I know that there's a lot of folks here in this going to want to come fish with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll come on. Henry Lewis waiting for you.
Hey, that's good.
Field and field trial champions across North America are fueled by Purina ProPlan Performance. Pick up a bag for your champ today at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, Kansas, and Missouri.
This is Jim Shockey, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about them with Kinder Outdoors.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life, telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on, theharvestmovie.com. The first time that I gave my taxidermy work to Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas, was way back in 1994. It was a very special little Texas Hill Country whitetail, just a spindly little management buck. But to this day, decades later, still one of the most cherished memories in my home, and it still looks as fresh as it did back then. My son was 10 years old, and this was his very first deer. There have been a lot of years and a lot of memories preserved since that time, and the common denominator in them all is Roy Holdridge and True Life Taxidermy. True Life is trusted by hunters and fishermen from around the world and is called upon to handle the artistry that brings that hunt or fishing trip back to life every time they admire True Life's work in their home, office, or hunt camp. True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Give us your wild game processing order, too. We'll take care of it. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged into battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore. Men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
Way out in West Texas on Highway 287, about 40 miles east of Amarillo, is one of the coolest roadside stops that you'll find. Right there on the south side of the highway sits the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Buffalo Gold features wonderful Western art, one-of-a-kind jewelry, and all things buffalo. Belts, boots, and bison leather products of all kinds. Our buffalo wool socks, gloves, hats, beanies, and more will keep you warm like never before during the coldest winters. And that road trip will feel better, too, with a soft and cozy buffalo down knit throw or lap robe. Unique and beautiful Damascus steel kitchen knives. Vintage Navajo sterling and turquoise jewelry. A huge selection of bison moccasins. Shoes and boots for hunting, working, or just looking great. Stop in and see us at the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Yes, we do have our own herd. 40 miles east of Amarillo near Goodnight, Texas. BuffaloGold.net. Dove hunting in Argentina is well documented, but as my friends at JJ Caseria, Cordoba Doves will tell you, the duck hunting is unmatched anywhere in the world. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative for JJ Caseria.
The duck lodge is in Corrientes. We shoot 30 ducks in the morning and 10 per D's in the afternoon. We have 11 different species of ducks. We have a duck season from the 15th of April to the 31st of August.
You are assured before you ever leave American soil that you're going to feel welcome and at home when you hunt with your new friends at JJ Caseria.
Our lodge is beautiful. It's 4 years old. It has 10 double bedrooms, all with private baths, all heated and air conditioned. It's very comfortable. We don't put on air, so you'll feel as relaxed in the lodge as you do in your living room.
Hunt world-class doves and ducks in Argentina. Plan next year now by visiting CordobaDoves.com.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caseria. Can see me in Argentina.
Sometimes our office is a bass boat. Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
While you enjoy a day at the range, we stand on Capitol Hill and firmly say no to those who would rip that right and that gun from you. We are the DSC, and we're at biggame.org.
I'm going to be hunting at Joshua Creek Ranch again coming up in just a couple of weeks, and that's one of my favorite places to go. I've been there several times over the years and always look forward to my next trip back. I'm going to hunt birds. You have to at Joshua Creek. They're world famous for that. But they also have one of the finest free-range herds of axis deer on planet Earth. You could end up Boone and Crockett on axis deer at Joshua Creek. Learn more about the hunts and book with peace of mind knowing that they've relaxed their cancellation policy because of COVID. Learn more at kinderoutdoors.com about Joshua Creek Ranch. I guess one of my favorite sit-downs over the years was with Will Primos. You've probably used his products through the years.
Let's talk about your product a little bit. Do you remember the very first call that you ever designed or came up with? What was that?
Well, I actually had been given a call by a lady who was making calls. Her name was Eleanor Ressler, and she made calls. Her family had a turkey hunting heritage up on the Mississippi River on an island called Jackson Point. And she gave me this call, and I was a hunter and loved it, you know. And the turkey call just was too big for my mouth, and I realized everybody's mouth's different. So I kind of dissected that call, got my own ideas, and started making calls.
When was that?
Well, that was probably 75 or 6.
You weren't even born yet, so I know you're lying.
I was born in 1952. I carry my age well. Some people don't realize I'm as old as I am.
Yes, you do. Well, hunting and fishing, the outdoors, just being outdoors, it's in your blood from birth, isn't it?
It is. My daddy says, where did that come from? All, my uncles and all my, they all hunted just religiously almost. My daddy worked more than he hunted. He liked to squirrel hunt and small game hunt, rabbit hunt, and do just a little bit of dove shooting. But I'm going to tell you what, it was almost my refuge. When I got home from school, I had my BB gun, and we lived on 50 acres, and I was roaming that place, and nothing was safe.
I understand. I grew up the same way. Now, the business of calling turkeys, calling animals, boy, has it exploded over the years. And the technology, my goodness, I got out of turkey hunting a few years. I still had a few of my old diaphragm calls that were that hadn't disintegrated yet. And I got them out, and boy, it was like trying to make noise out of a cedar post. So I ran down to Bass Pro, and I bought some brand new three set of Primos just to get back into this a couple of years ago. Wow, it's gotten a lot easier to make one of those work.
Well, they're shaped different. They have better materials that they're made from. And we've also been able to really kind of figure out what it is somebody's supposed to be doing. As you teach yourself, you really don't know what you're doing, but you finally do it and make the right sound. Now, then how do you communicate that to somebody? And we've done well with our Mastering the Art series teaching people how to use the product. But, you know, when I got in the business in 76, it was a hobby. I didn't know exactly where I was going with it, but I ended up just having a blast going to shows and selling the calls, and one thing led to another, and we went into all categories of game animals, and now we've got over 650 products. So it's been quite an adventure being in this business for, 35 years.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you what, it's just so much fun. I know you can call elk, you can talk to other animals, but there's nothing in this world more fun than talking to a turkey.
You know what? It's just the every guy's sport, because everybody has got a friend that's got 20 acres or 100 acres, or there's public ground that support turkey populations. And to be able to go out there in the springtime, it's not too cold, not too hot.
Yeah.
Life's coming back to life.
Yeah.
The little green leaves are shooting out. The birds are singing. They're going through their spring mating rituals. And it's just a wonderful time to relax and try to let some of this cell phone, laptop, computer-infested world we live in, sit on the side for a little while.
Absolutely. What's coming up for the folks at Primos, the Primos team? What's new and exciting this year that you're proud of?
Well, we've got a lot of things that we're proud of. Probably the biggest thing is our line of game cameras. As we got into the game camera business, we use game cameras religiously. So as a group, the Primos team was going, you know, this makes sense. And we don't like what we're able to buy. It's too complicated. Some of us are from the non-computer age, and we wanted something that was simple to use. So we've got some new cameras that take that even a little bit further, make it a little bit more simple than they were, even though they were real simple, but even with more features. So we're proud of that line, as well as our Swamp Donkey line of deer supplements.
Can you remember the first turkey you ever called in and shot? That's going way back. You've shot a lot of birds through the years.
You know, I can. And
really?
I didn't know what I was doing. You know, back then, it was an opportunistic thing. You saw one, you shot him. But when we really started understanding turkey calling and got out there and did it, I remember I stood there. I was told where to go. I was on my own. Nobody took me. I'd studied everything I could get my hands on. My favorite book at the time was The 10th Legion by Tom Kelly. And it wasn't a how-to book, but it was the whole emotional event that is what a turkey hunter is. He's by himself. He's one-on-one. He sits down. That turkey gobbled. I sat down. I took that call out, and my hands were shaking so bad. It was a Lynch box call, and made by Alan Jenkins. And he used to be made in Birmingham, Alabama, but he had bought the business and moved it to South Mississippi. And I had one of Alan's Lynch box calls at that time. But I got that call out, and I couldn't do anything but purr. But evidently, that was what that turkey wanted to hear.
And you shot him right in the face.
I so did.
The end. Well, I tell you, Will, it's a pleasure to be able to visit with you. Congratulations. You started with a hobby and ended up with an empire. This is just, it's fun to watch.
It's a mighty nice compliment. I don't know about that, but it's been some wonderful people to be involved with, met some fantastic people over the years, and it's just great to have had such great associations.
Yeah. I've heard it said from a great many people that when you make your hobby your work, you don't want to do your hobby anymore. That's not true with you.
There are moments of that where the work never stops, that the life never ends, that you need a break from just some of that. From this point, would probably be best explained by my wife, Mary, because we've had those conversations. But, you know, it is my life's work. But I love the people. I love what we do. I love representing the sport. I love doing it the way I think is right. The purest traditional way. I love protecting the hunting heritage. All the conservation organizations, National Wild Turkey Federation, they do such a great job of giving us the opportunity to really expand what we love so much.
Well, let's go hunting in our minds real quick. Springtime's coming. Where are you going?
Woo! Well, I look forward to going right there next to the house, right there, right just not far at all, maybe 10 minutes down the road. And I look forward to sitting down, and probably that first morning, I'm just going to sit and listen. I'm going to sit and listen to them do their deal, figure out which way they're going, how much they're gobbling, and I'm going to go back with a plan.
I know you will. Well, thank you so much. What a gentleman, and I sure enjoy your products.
Well, thank you for having me on your program. I appreciate it.
The great Will Primos on DSC's Kinder Outdoors, this first show of 2021. Happy New Year to you. This corner of the camp house brought to you by Joshua Creek Ranch. The event center and facilities there are perfect for your corporate retreat, and there's not a prettier place to get married anywhere. Besides that, guys, you can go bird hunt in the morning and get married in the afternoon. Check them out. Joshua Creek Ranch at kinderoutdoors.com. I'm going back down in a couple of weeks. I'm going to hunt axis deer and birds. Very excited about that. And my buddy, Mr. Crappie, Wally Marshall, is going to meet me there. We're going to have a blast. In case you haven't heard, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation finished up 2020 with a bang on a really positive note. They recently surpassed more than 8 million acres of lifetime conservation work in their 36-year history. Kyle Weaver is the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation president and CEO, and he says that the trickle-down effect of this land also positively impacts not just the elk, but countless game and non-game species alike. It improves public access and benefits our hunting tradition. RMEF crossed the 8 million acre threshold when they made a $50,000 donation for a 2,892-acre conservation easement in the Pine Ridge region of northwest Nebraska. Beautiful area. Hey, I don't know about you, but I could use one more cup of coffee.
Hey, everybody, this is Casey Ashley. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it, with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Kinder, how'd you get in my boat?
At Marksman Firearms and Outfitters, we make shopping for the hunter or recreational shooter in your family easy. With locations in Mansfield, Wichita Falls, Granbury, and Killeen, Texas. Take advantage of our 90-day layaway, same as cash. So there's no need to hide gifts until the big morning. All year, we honor our military and first responders with a 10% discount on everything in the store. For rifles, pistols, shotguns, ammo, and optics, Marksman Firearms is your complete one-stop shop. MarksmanFirearms.com. Make your mark at Marksman.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line five times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds, when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number two hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
I'm Tom Watson with Bended Knee International, asking you to pray for the Navajo people of New Mexico and Arizona. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit these native people exceptionally hard. In many cases, multiple families live in the same home. Water is carried from muddy streams for household use, and medical care is many miles away. I simply ask that you join me in lifting them up to the Lord. To learn more, please visit bendedknee.org.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon.
Somewhere over this horizon sit a million little dictators, eager to purge humanity of its hunting instincts. Contrived emotions flood from their air-conditioned, glass-paneled, Wi-Fi-enabled habitats, over the mountains and out into the wild, from which they hate to admit they emerged. Their foolish quest to force nature to fit their feelings threatens the survival of every living thing on our planet. If their fevered tantrums are ever imposed, the Earth will be ruled by the deadliest combination in the natural world: human ignorance and human arrogance. Travel another path. The truest path. Nature's path. Trust the hunter in your blood.
And a 12 with a 10-inch drop time. Y'all go on inside. The whole Dallas Safari Club bunch is in there with Kinder Outdoors.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
Welcome back to our campfire here at Kinder Outdoors, brought to you by the Dallas Safari Club. If you ever want to reach out to us, we're easy to get a hold of. 1-877-820 BBKO 1-877-820-2256 and the Camp House website, kinderoutdoors.com. K-I-N-D-E-R, kinderoutdoors.com. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by Joshua Creek Ranch in the Texas Hill Country, where they have gone above and beyond to keep you COVID safe during this terrible time. Just 45 minutes northwest of San Antonio, along the pristine banks of the Guadalupe River. Orvis and Beretta endorsed wing shooting, one of the finest five-star experiences all the way around, lodging, hunting, dining, that you're going to find anywhere. Treat yourself to Joshua Creek Ranch. Learn more when you come see me at kinderoutdoors.com. As we wrap up our time in the Camp House together today, I want to go back to one of my favorite stops all year long. It was in January of 2020 that I got together on stage with the Mount Rushmore of the hunting community: Craig Boddington, Jim Shockey, Larry Wysoon, Phil Massaro, and a very special guest.
Hey, did you kill a deer this year, Craig? Did you shoot a deer or two this fall? Tell me a deer hunting story.
Well, we had this. Now, understand, we've got guests on my place, and so my tag is a sacrifice tag, all right? And I'm trying to look for a cull deer, and we had a... It is my best deer hunting story in my entire life.
Wow, I got to hear this.
An ancient unicorn cowhorn spike that was old when we first saw him, and that was 3 years ago. And so everybody in the neighborhood wanted this deer, and every single one of it, a spike about like that. Everybody in the neighborhood was willing to sacrifice their only buck tag for this deer. And picked up a picture of him on a trail camera the day before opening day, and he was walking from south to north, and there was a ridge behind, and I had a stand along the creek. So I said, you know what? If he did it once, he just might do it again.
Yeah.
So I put myself on the creek, and there was a little pond, a little puddle, an oxbow in the creek. There was a bend in the creek with a little pool of water over my left shoulder. And so in the... Right at dawn, right at daybreak, I heard a crunch, 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 and I looked over my shoulder, and there was a nice 8-point standing. I could see his reflection in the pool, and he was hidden by a cedar, but I could see his reflection, so I let him go. And a little while later, crunch, 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 and there was a bigger 8-point, and I probably should have shot him, but you know what? Maybe that old spike will be there. And about 20 minutes later,
I heard another crunch, 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 and I looked over, and in the reflection, I could see it was that cowhorn spike. And I was shooting an old 30-30, so it obviously wasn't very far. And I managed to get around and make the right-handed shot. I'm left-handed. But it was just fantastic because I saw that deer's reflection, and I knew it was the deer I'd been looking for three seasons.
So what did the bullet do when it hit the reflection in the water?
Made a big splash. It made a big splash.
Ricocheted off the pond and hit him right in the heart, Jim. Yeah, it was amazing. How about your
corner pocket?
Yeah. How about your fall, Jim? Fall and early winter. What have you been doing?
I went to the our Yukon Rogue River Outfitting Territory. I love it up there. That's my, I heard you say about the 6 million acres up in New York. But our Rogue River Outfitting Territory is public land.
Yeah.
But it's 7.5 million acres.
Wow.
And there's not a single road, not a single house in there. It's pure wilderness, the last left in the world. So I go up there every August for sheep, hunted doll sheep, got a monster. Then moose, grizzly bear, wolf, mountain caribou, got all those. And then went on to hunt whitetails in Saskatchewan. With my bow and arrow. So, next question.
I like it when they get to those stories. That's when it's really getting good.
That would be a miss, actually, just for the record.
Hey, four grandkids now. Last year there were only two.
Yeah,
four.
This is amazing how that all happens. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But with four grandchildren under 3 years of age now.
Yeah, buddy.
From two children. So they keep handing me these little things and going, okay, this is cute. It's wonderful. Being a grandfather is great. Here, you can have them back. But when they turn six, five, six, seven, then they're mine.
They're yours.
They're mine. And they can't say, well, you don't know how to change a diaper.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't want to know how to change a diaper. But I do know how to teach them how to hunt and fish.
Right.
So
exactly.
I can't wait. I'll be very busy. So anyone wants to ask me a question, ask me now in the next couple of years. Because after that, I'm out of here. I'm going to be grand. Big Baba, which by the way is Ukrainian for grandmother, so that's what they're calling
Big
me.
Big Baba?
Yeah, Big Baba.
That's what they call you, Big Baba?
Yeah, Big Baba, which, like I say, is Ukrainian for grandmother.
Ukrainian for grandmother.
Yeah, I'm Ukrainian descent, so it's like it's irritating. It's another one of those, like, where's Larry Weishun questions. It's just irritating.
I've got a smart aleck remark, but Phil jumped at that microphone. I think he's got probably a really...
I was going to say it's the genes, but it was...
decided not to say it. Ukrainian for what? Big Mama?
No, grandmother. Baba.
Grandmother.
Yeah, Baba. And Guido was for grandfather. I should have been Guido.
Yeah, there you go.
But I ended up being Baba, grandmother.
So have you gotten to the point, like all grandparents do, you're looking at all those kids and you really want one to stop doing something and you call that one by the other three names before you...
I haven't.
Bobby, Jenny, Sue.
I haven't done that, but I will tell you one thing about this point in my life. This is when I should be hunting 360 days a year.
Yep.
Because my wife could care less right now. I could literally say, I'll see you in 10 years. And say, whatever. It's amazing.
Yeah.
This is the time when I should be hunting all year round. Louisiana doesn't even...
They don't even know you exist.
Is there a moose somewhere you got to go hunt?
They don't even know you exist, Jim.
Somebody.
How's that boat working out for the big hunter? You still fishing some and, collecting your prawns? And...
Oh, yeah, the mighty Thunderjet.
The Thunderjet,
I love it. Yeah, that's a welded aluminum boat on the west coast of Vancouver, or east coast of Vancouver Island, where we go catch prawns and crabs every day. Octopus. As soon as I get home, I go home tomorrow, no, day after tomorrow. Then I'll be in my boat every day until SHOT Show will spoil it all, I have to stop eating prawns and crabs every day. Love it.
I have to stop the prawns a little while. I'm going to come to your house for prawns sometime.
Everybody's invited.
Hey, guys, I want you to say hello to Granny Bullard. Miss Glenda Bullard joins us now. Give her a big round of applause, if you would.
I feel so honored to be sitting here with these real hunters.
Well, no, listen. Granny Bullard is 85 now. And Phil, She never hunted a day in her life till she was 77. Started hunting at 77. How about that, folks?
Yeah. I liked what he said down there a while ago.
What did he say a while ago?
Well, about, about women hunting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't think you can't, because you can if you'll just try.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, you wanted to hunt with your boy Glenn.
Yes.
When you were 77, to spend more time with your kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
And so you bought what, a rifle or a crossbow?
No, Glenn brought this crossbow in.
Crossbow.
Uh-huh. And I said, what is that? You know, I never had hunted.
Right.
And my husband didn't hunt.
Yeah.
So I didn't know anything about hunting at all. So he said, Mama, I'm going to teach you to use this.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, let's go. So we got out in the backyard, and about the third time I shot, I hit the bullseye.
Third time you hit the bullseye.
Yeah.
And decided, I'm going to go do this. So then you went to the field, and you actually went hunting, right? Deer hunting?
Yeah. He said, Mom, let's go hunting. I said, well, let's go.
Yeah. And what happened? Tell me about it.
Well, I shot a deer.
I shot a deer.
The fun and camaraderie that we have on that stage. It's been fun having a little camaraderie with you in the camp house today at Kinder Outdoors. Thanks for being here as we kick off a brand new year. I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the time we've had together and invite you right back here next time around. Till then, may God bless you and your bunch.